to First PacTrust Bancorp, Inc.'s April 27, 2011, First Quarter 2011 Earnings Investor Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. I'd now like to turn the conference over to Mr. James Sheehy, Executive Vice President, Secretary, and Treasurer for First PacTrust Bancorp. Mr. Sheehy, you may begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us for today's First Quarter 2011 Earnings Investor Conference Call. With me on the call today are First PacTrust Bancorp's President and Chief Executive Officer, Gregory A. Mitchell. Also here to assist Mr. Mitchell in answering your questions later during this teleconference is the company's Principal Accounting Officer, Senior Vice President and Controller, Regan Lauer. The President and Chief Executive Officer of the company's wholly owned Pacific Trust Bank subsidiary, Hans Gantz, and the bank's Executive Vice President and Chief Administrative Officer, Richard Herron. Also joining us and available for answering questions if need be is the company's Internal Asset Review Officer, Philip Lamb. Today's conference call is being recorded for replay via phone, and a copy of the recording and a transcript of the meeting will be available later on the company's investor relations website. Before I turn it over to Greg, I want to remind everyone that, as always, elements of this presentation are forward-looking and are based on our best view of the world and our businesses as we see them today. Those elements can change as the world changes. Please interpret them in that light. The forward-looking statements in today's first quarter earnings release and 8-K filing also apply to our comments today. Those documents are available on our First PacTrust Bancorp.com investor relations website, as are other 8-Ks filed regarding investor presentation materials and other matters. A PDF file of the investor presentation for the first quarter 2011 slideshow for this earnings conference call can be found on the company's investor relations website under the link entitled Annual Reports and Presentations. We will have time for questions and answers at the end of the presentation. And now, I'll turn it over to our President and CEO, Greg Mitchell.
Thank you, Jim, and good afternoon, everyone. I very much appreciate you all joining us for the first quarter earnings call for First PacTrust Bancorp, and very much appreciate your support of our company. This has been an amazing quarter, and I'm very pleased to report the results, not only from a financial perspective, but also organizational perspective, and hopefully lay out for you the groundwork that we have laid to continue to build a great community banking franchise here in San Diego County and ultimately throughout Southern California. Now, during our last call, 8-K earnings announcement, and many of my visits with the analysts that are now following Pacific Trust Bank, I talked about a strategy aimed at building a core franchise that began with a baseline assessment of our operations to understand what we really had here at Pacific Trust, what we needed to take it to the next level, and then filling those needs with the resources that will help PacTrust realize its long-term vision. I'm very pleased to report that that baseline assessment or initial review was completed, and with that, the bank has made tremendous progress in addressing a number of challenges, while also improving the overall performance of the organization. And I'll talk about some of the results of that later this morning. You know, while the results of these baseline assessments and rebuilding activities resulted in some level of noise in the bank's earnings and asset quality numbers, directionally, I'm, again, very pleased with where they are. So before I jump into specific elements of the quarterly press release, I want to talk about things from a macro regulatory perspective on my assessment of where we are and where we're going. Certainly from a capital perspective, the company continues to be strong, far exceeding all regulatory requirements of the OTS and ultimately the OCC and the Federal Reserve, and we're prepared to make that transition to those regulatory agencies in July of this year. From an asset quality perspective, I'm generally pleased with improving trends from a delinquency perspective, a classified asset perspective, and a classified assets as a percent of capital plus reserves. While we had some delayed restructurings on a few loans that we expect to cure during Q2, directionally the portfolio looks pretty darn solid, and I'm happy to provide additional color on that as we go through the call. Management, very pleased with the progress that's been made there. Since January, this bank has benefited from the work of Galen Anderson, who is our new Executive Vice President and Director of Retail Banking, and support staff that he has brought with him into the organization. Benefited greatly from the efforts of Chang Liu, who is our new Director, Chief Lending Officer and Executive Vice President of the bank, and who has been busy building a book, developing an infrastructure, and recruiting great talent into the company. Benefited greatly from Matt Bonaccorso, our Executive Vice President and Chief Credit Officer, who has been busy better preparing the company to take advantage of growth opportunities, strategic initiatives, purchased asset activities, and other programs that will benefit Pacific Trust Bank in the long term. These folks, between them, have more than 75 years of collective experience operating community banks that are much larger than Pacific Trust Bank, and will really be leaders as we take the company forward. Equally, I'm impressed with the way in which the employees of Pacific Trust Bank and Bancorp have really rallied around the new direction and helped us in commencing the transformation of this organization. I'm heartened by the hard work that's been put in by so many people and the way the employees of Pacific Trust Bank have embraced new directions and changes. And I believe that spirit and that dedication will pay great dividends for us in future periods. From an earnings perspective, the company generated $2 million in core earnings, or roughly 20 cents per share during the first quarter. Earnings had two principal non-core items in them, one including a large OREO adjustment, which I'll spend additional time explaining later, and the second being roughly an $863,000 non-core accrual for certain change of control benefits due one of the senior officers of Pacific Trust Bank, and I'll spend more time talking about that later as well. After taking into consideration those non-core items, net income available to common shareholders was 7 cents per share, or just under $700,000 for the quarter. Importantly, some of the core fundamentals for earnings remained stable to improved in the first quarter. The bank's cost of deposits declined significantly as we made great progress in continuing to shift the mix and the pricing structure of our deposit relationships while growing the core relationships that the market will value from a qualitative earnings perspective and shrinking single product, institutional, or really non-relationship deposits that really had no value to us as an organization. We also made better progress in redeploying some of the excess cash that existed at the holding company into asset purchases from the thrift and purchases of additional securities. So while I'd certainly like to see enhancements to our net interest margin, I think a combination of the work that was done in restructuring portfolios and the work that was done in building a stronger retail banking platform and stronger loan production platform will pay great dividends for Pacific Trust Bank and ultimately Bancorp and our shareholders in future periods. From a liquidity perspective, incredibly impressed with the progress made by our branch team in embracing change, embracing building excellence, embracing new branding initiatives that have gone on at Cal National, and greatly improving the level of sales on an individual basis and on a daily basis throughout the organization. The mix will benefit Pacific Trust Bank for many, many years. Change in the mix will benefit Pacific Trust Bank for many, many years. And then from an interest rate sensitivity perspective, we've continued to improve the bank's ability to manage rising interest rates. We've modeled our earnings forecast against the Bloomberg forward curve, against up 300 rate spikes, and are comfortable with what we're seeing now and are comfortable with what we expect to see in future periods. And then a question that's also raised is, how do the regulators view Pacific Trust Bank? And I think the answer to that is generally positive. Clearly, with an extremely strong capital position, with levels of classified assets as a percentage of assets that are sub 40%, typically levels that are only seen in some of the strongest institutions in the country, and stronger risk management and internal asset review functions, we think the regulators are pleased with the progress made by Pacific Trust Bank and First PacTrust Bancorp. They're also quite pleased with the progress that we've made on strengthening our infrastructure in other areas. And as you might imagine, that is important to us as we work to achieve our goals of strong organic growth while also positioning our company to be a consolidator or acquirer in Southern California. So regulators are our friends. They truly are. And we are embracing the change that is around us as a result of Dodd-Frank. And then finally, with respect to capital markets, and those of you who know me can take the sincerity of this, we really are humbled and honored by the interest that the analyst community has shown in Pacific Trust Bank, and appreciate your trust and confidence in this organization and the way you've embraced the vision that we've set forth for the company and its shareholders. Obviously, that's contributed to some price appreciation during the first quarter, and we're hopeful that we'll continue to earn your trust and confidence in the quarters that follow. So let's talk about some specific achievements out of the retail banking and lending area before I jump into numbers in greater detail. From retail banking, we've completed evaluations of all staff, created a robust sales and service program, trained all managers in banking, and moved people away from being order takers to really being sales-oriented. That will be a long-term project, but we've made very, very good progress there. We've launched, and you've probably seen this in the 8K and investor presentation that was filed today, a new brand and a new look for Pacific Trust Bank, now PacTrust Bank and First PacTrust Bancorp, that is modern and reflects new directions and new beginnings while also honoring the legacy of a 70-plus-year-old institution serving the people of California. So we're pleased with that look and feel, and again, we're pleased with the way that's been received. We also opened this quarter the La Jolla branch, and I'm pleased to report that that branch has generated roughly $16 million in deposits in a little over a month, and that's qualitative deposits, with more than 65% of those deposits representing transactional accounts and core accounts versus, you know, hot money CDs that can be acquired by any institution. So we're achieving qualitative growth and taking advantage of what the market has given us. We're also well on our way to opening the San Marcos branch, which we expect to open the second week of June, and are exploring our first expansions into Los Angeles County, and we expect to announce some specific locations in that county later this month or early next month. We see great opportunity in that market and the ability to leverage some of the relationships that current management has in those communities, and that should allow us to further diversify risk and take advantage of pre-existing relationships. So while the earnings were not as strong as some of you may have liked, I think it's very consistent with our strategy of completing an assessment, preparing for the future, hiring the right people, doing the right legwork, and ultimately positioning the company to do very well in future quarters. So I'm going to stop on some of that background information and jump in very quickly to some of the data that was contained in the 8K. As I mentioned earlier, excluding some of the non-core charges, notably the extraordinary OREO expense and the accrual for certain executive officer compensation-related change controls, $2 million in core earnings. Net of those charges, $693,000, 7 cents a share. During the quarter, we repaid the TARP warrants and also paid a common stock dividend of 10.5 cents. That caused a reduction in our tangible book value from $13.98 to $13.94 between the fourth quarter of 2010 and the first quarter of 2011. We also made some good progress in disposing of REO. Those of you who have been following us for a while knew that we had a couple of long-term assets, one of which was a single-family home in Rancho Santa Fe, California, and the second was a luxury interval ownership project, a very complicated participation in construction project in Mammoth, California. During the fourth quarter, we took certain charges on both of those assets with the belief that the level we'd written them down to was the level necessary to clear the assets. In connection with the disposition of our property in Rancho Santa Fe, we discovered through inspections some significant engineering defects that caused a reduction in the value of that asset. Those are items that could not have been identified by an appraiser and were only identified as part of a sale process. We were obviously disappointed with that, but clearly the asset needed to be fixed in order to be sold, and we absorbed that cost in the first quarter. That asset is now cleared. The second asset that's been languishing on the books of PAC Trust was our luxury timeshare up in Mammoth. We expect that asset to clear in the second quarter. It is a participation loan with 17 different participants, many of which are under the control of the FDIC. So as you might imagine, that's been a challenging asset. We thought that asset would be cleared in the first quarter and had negotiated a transaction, which fell apart. As a result of that falling apart, there were new economics in the follow-on deal, and we are comfortable with those economics and are comfortable with the reserve that we've established to clear that asset in the second quarter. Incidentally, that asset will clear now at a value equal to about 20% of the original loan balance. So First PAC Trust over the years has absorbed $8 million in losses in connection with that asset. Also in connection with our efforts to improve the ratios and performance of First PAC Trust Bank Corp, Pacific Trust Bank, that asset, the Talus asset, as well as a new single-family home in La Jolla, an aggregate balance of $4 million were transferred from the bank to First PAC Trust Bank Corp. In addition to that, there were two long-term and somewhat hairy, and I know that's a scientific term, land loans that we transferred from the bank to the holding company. We anticipate that one of those land loans will be cleared in the second quarter and the other land loan cleared in the third quarter. We believe, based upon information available to us today, that the Bank Corp will be able to clear those at levels at or better than its current carrying value. The removal of those four assets from the bank's books resulted in substantial improvement in the level of classified assets as a percentage of capital reserves, which is an important measurement. We went a little further this quarter and also transferred certain classified re-REMICs that are performing very well but are not particularly looked upon with fondness by regulators from the bank to Bank Corp. The aggregate of those asset sales, REO transfers, and securities purchases contributed to the very substantial reduction in the level of classified assets percentage of capital, a better positioned FPTB for strong regulatory relations and exploitation of some strategic alternatives. Earnings fundamentals, I think I discussed earlier as it related to changes in the company's net interest margin. From an allowance for loan loss perspective, the company absorbed a $1.7 million charge-off on an SBA established on one of those large land loans. Because our FAS 5 analysis indicated that the bank was more than adequately reserved, given changes in its risk risk composition, Bank Corp felt very comfortable not increasing the provision or the allowance for loan losses in Q2. We're now sitting at a reserve to loan loss at 1.75%, with substantially all of the portfolio in performing single-family residential loans with strong loan-to-value metrics and a very limited exposure to land and other classified assets. As we've disclosed in the document, the bank carries all TDRs and all impaired assets at 90 to 91% of the most recent appraised value. And as you know, we receive updated appraisals on all of our single-family homes at least every 6 months, and many of our classified or impaired assets on a regular basis. So structurally, asset quality, I was pleased with the trends and certainly pleased with the trends on delinquencies and classifieds. I think looking forward, you'll see continued effort on the bank's part to whittle down the level of non-performing assets and clear that asset category so that we can further enhance the margin by converting non-earning assets into earning assets. Balance sheet and liquidity, I talked earlier about the progress made by our retail network in changing the mix and pricing on our liabilities. We were successful in paying off $10 million of Federal Home Loan Bank advances during the first quarter and paid off an additional $5 million in Federal Home Loan Bank advances earlier in the second quarter. Other events, as I discussed earlier, brought in new management, paid off the warrants held by Treasury at a level that was accretive to our tangible book value, purchased the building in San Marcos, brought in some great new directors to strengthen our board at the holding company. Tim Christman, who's been a long-term friend of mine, current chairman of the Federal Home Loan Bank of San Francisco and former chairman of the Federal Home Loan Bank system. He's also affiliated with some broker-dealers, very well-respected individual. He's joined us, as has Jeff Siebold, both of whom have been great additions to our board. Interestingly, Jeff is a very successful mortgage lender focusing on the production of single-family residential loans and commercial residential loans, and they are a significant producer for some large money center banks here in California. So they know the process, they know the markets, and Jeff has already added great value as we've enhanced our green mortgage product and some alternate documentation programs, which should further drive loan production and further enhance our margin in subsequent periods. With that, I'm going to stop on my prepared comments and respond to specific questions that may come from our shareholders or analysts now following Pacific Trust Bank. So, operator, if you would open the call, I'd be happy to discuss the bank's first quarter performance and respond to other questions that you may have.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Brett Bloom.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, good afternoon, Brett. Thanks for calling in today.
You bet. Wanted to ask about capital ratios at the bank following the securities sale to the holding company. You had mentioned in the press release that that was intended to boost the capital levels at the bank. Do you have those numbers? Can you give them to me?
We do. The bank ratios, they're actually on the, I guess, fifth page of the press release. As of the end of the first quarter, Tier 1 risk base and total risk base were 12.12, 16.02, and 17.27 as of March 31st.
Okay.
Also, and this is an important point, I'm glad you raised this or surfaced this, Brett. In connection with the sale of securities between the bank and Bancorp, Pacific Trust Bank was able to record a gain on sale of its securities between the bank and the parent. That gain on sale was eliminated in consolidated earnings, but the gain on sale also served to boost the net income for Pacific Trust Bank during the first quarter. So the bank itself generated $2 million in net income, or 1% ROA for the first quarter. So it included in the bank's earnings are a level of non-recurring gains from the sale of securities and between the bank and the holding company, as well as a small non-recurring gain from the sale of some of the REREMIX into the open market.
Okay, thanks. And then on the relaunch of the residential loan production, I was hoping maybe you could just talk a little bit more about that, and also specifically if there were some compensation changes included in also the restructuring there.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yes and no, short answer to your question. As it relates to the green mortgage, because of the nature of that asset class, Dodd-Frank excludes that type of product from some of the restrictions for mortgage lenders. So mortgage lenders in the market can generate a green type product for us or other lenders throughout the United States and have a fee structure not unlike what they charge prior to Dodd-Frank. Some of our traditional Fannie, Freddie, FHA, alt-doc production is subject to the new broker compensation guidelines contained by Dodd-Frank. One of the areas that we've leveraged Jeff's talents is he is, Jeff Siebold, is he is intimately familiar with that and has helped advise the bank on how best to structure pricing and how best to structure compensation to stimulate volume in that new arena.
Thank you very much. I'll step back and maybe ask some questions later.
Thank you, Brad.
Your next question comes from Andrew Lesh.
Hey, Andrew. How you doing today?
Good, thanks. Question on loan balances, seeing them come down for several quarters in a row now. When do you think you'll start to see them rise?
This quarter.
This quarter?
Yeah, I think you'll see, if you think about it, in the business of investment banking, I'll use that as an example since Sandler's pretty successful in that arena. It takes a period of time to get a deal going, get people agreeing, get term sheets out, get a definitive agreement done, and ultimately get that closed. It's typically more than 90 days for that to happen.
Right.
So Chang and the team came on in January. Before we got out or really laid out broker sheets and exposed the market to our new product set, we wanted to make damn sure that we had good policies, procedures, and controls in place. So they did a lot of that work earlier in the quarter, and probably 45 days ago started to get in the market and develop deep relationships with their clients, the brokerage community, and get the first pack, Pacific Trust Bank name out of the market. And that's been well received, and I'm expecting obviously increased production in the second quarter, with production ramping up further in the third and fourth quarter of 2011. I think previously you and others have identified some sort of production targets out of the bank for 2011, and we think we'll be fine in hitting those production targets. Is that a response to your question, Andrew?
Yes, absolutely. I'll step back.
Your next question comes from Kevin Reynolds.
Hey, Kevin. How's Memphis?
Well, we're still standing after several rounds of severe weather.
Okay, that's a good thing.
I wanted to ask you, kind of get your thoughts on the acquisition opportunity out there and kind of, timing, and I may have missed some of this because we're sort of all over the place this afternoon, but timing on what you think you might be able to pull off. I know you spent a lot of time talking about how you built the foundation for the organic transition of the business model, but what about the inorganic part? Do you think, are things going to come to us sooner than we thought, or do they get pushed out, and what's your sweet spot? Is it still the same?
Well, I think, this morning I delivered a presentation to a group of bankers, community bankers, market participants, and others about my outlook for community banking in California and M&A activity in California, and indicated that I thought that of the 128 institutions that are now in our market area, there's sub $500 million in assets, there might be 50 of those standing 4 years from now. And I think that I believe that for a lot of reasons. There are a lot of folks that, as you might imagine, have approached us to be potential suitor for them. We're evaluating that stuff carefully. I can't predict when a transaction would close, or can't predict and certainly can't disclose when a transaction might be announced. But I will tell you that there's been a fair amount of activity and a fair amount of work done on the strategic initiatives. So we're running two parallel tracks. We're running hard, and I'm, again, very proud of the progress we've made on the organic side, but we're also running hard on the strategic side to better position ourselves to be an early leader in that arena. I hope that's enough clarity for you, Kevin. I can't really give you much more than that.
Can't give us dates and times?
I know you'd love it.
All right, I'll let you off the hook. Thanks.
Your next question is from Don Worthington.
Hey, Don, thank you and congratulations for the new branding at Now Raymond James.
Yes, good afternoon, Greg and others. A couple things. I know the reserve levels come down the last couple of quarters fairly significantly. Do you expect any further reserve releases, or you figure, you know, the 1.7 is a fairly good percentage of loans on the reserve?
I can't predict that. Part of what we struggle with from an accounting perspective and otherwise is given changes in the risk characteristics of the portfolio, the falling off of longer-term loss factors in our FAS 5 analysis, the qualitative analysis of FAS 5, it looks like the level of unallocated GVAs will rise somewhat significantly in future quarters. That will be absorbed in some part by new loan production out of our reinitiation of green initiatives and other residential mortgage initiatives, as well as production of our commercial real estate initiatives under Chang Liu's leadership. We're not budgeting or expecting to see that level drop below the current levels, but it's going to depend on what our accountants will let us do. If we get to very large levels of unallocated reserves, it'll be hard for us to add more to keep the ratio at that level with a rising loan portfolio. You see the dilemma, Don?
Yeah, no, I understand. That's a good color. And then in terms of the new lending, how much would you expect to be originations versus purchases?
We expect at this stage all of it to be originations. One of the things that Matt and Chang and others have spent a fair amount of time on this past quarter, in addition to their sort of blocking and tackling and building, is turning over a lot of stones in the purchased asset arena. And because of the level of liquidity that's in the market, we're seeing people bid up purchased asset pools at relatively ridiculous levels. We don't want to buy somebody else's originations at ridiculous prices, so we'd rather at this stage pass on what I'll call less than optimally priced and less than optimally structured purchased asset pools and save that powder for organic production. If, however, we see some good deals that make sense for us from a credit perspective and a yield perspective, and we can really get comfortable with the underlying collateral, you know, we're certainly there.
Okay. And I guess my last question, in terms of the core expense run rate, you know, backing out the REO charges, would you expect that to be, you know, fairly where you want to be, or are you looking at adding more staff as you go?
I think what we provided in earlier guidance was we anticipated that the investment in staff and real estate related to some of our branch expansion initiatives and building the franchise was about $4 million for the year. We haven't hit that level yet, so I think you'll see some additional expenses. One of the questions that's often raised in these calls is, you know, how are you coming on a potential CFO candidate? You know, you may see that as an expense factor coming in. At some point, you're not going to see other significant expense from a executive leadership perspective, but you may see some additional staffing on the production side. That said, we would expect that as the branch initiatives kick in, and certainly as these lending initiatives kick in, the additional NIM and fee income coming out of those activities will more than offset the increased expense. So as we've looked at this, Don, we've assumed using Bernanke's terms earlier today, an intermediate horizon rise in the efficiency ratio, declining in the longer term, and in our investor presentations, we talk about a target efficiency ratio in the 50s, and I think we'll get there.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Greg.
Thank you, Don. And again, congratulations.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from Jerry Timmer.
Hey, Gary. How's life up in the Northwest?
Oh, doing well, guys. Thanks very much. I think most of my questions have been answered. Just had a question about the troubled debt restructuring bucket, and I got on the call late, so I apologize if you went over this earlier, but looks like just eyeballing it, there may have been some TDRs that were early performing TDRs back last quarter that maybe fell out of performing status during the quarter. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, one of our, in the release, we talked about a couple of delayed restructurings that we expect to cure in the second quarter. Two of those, there were actually two loans showing up in the TDR bucket that were performing and expected to stay back on performing. One was a multifamily TDR. The second was a single-family TDR, essentially a second deed of trust on a very high-quality property that cross-collateralized this multifamily. The restructuring of that loan was delayed, so that caused that to fall out of performing and into non-performing. But again, we expect that to be resolved this quarter.
Okay, so those should come back on the performing TDR list.
I don't know if they'll come back on a performing TDR, if they'll come on to the past, because you may see totally new loans made on the multifamily and on the single family with a different borrower structure.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Your final question comes from Bryce Rowe.
Hey, Bryce, how's Richmond?
Richmond's great. Thanks,
good.
Greg. How's it out there?
It's lovely. I've been in a lot of cities over the last 16 hours, so a little tired. I'm sure you all are as well.
Yeah, earnings season is fun. Yes, wanted to touch base on, you talked about the loan production. I think you've talked about this a little bit in the past, but wondering what the mix of that loan production might look like over the next 9 months or so, and then if you could talk about pricing on those new loans and what we should expect from a loan yield perspective over the rest of the year.
Well, I think part of what we've tried to give you some thoughts on, rather than getting into individual pricing on loans, because you're going to see different pricing levels for different credit risk within a portfolio. For example, you may see a commercial real estate asset with a pretty strong debt coverage ratio yielding 5.5 to 5.75, but a green mortgage that's 50% loan to value priced at, I'm picking a number, 4.5. So there are different risk characteristics and different pricing. We're expecting from a margin perspective that our new lending initiatives will contribute in excess of a 4% net interest margin against our funding costs. I don't know if that gets you to the same place for purposes of your forecasting.
That's helpful. And so from a mix perspective, I mean, obviously Chang's in there and is rolling out a new product to First Pac Trust. Just wondering what you think the mix will look like, as we move through the year.
I would say for the balance of 2011, the mix this year will probably sort of answer your question without over-answering it. You all were forecasting, I think, more than $100 million in CRE production in 2011 and perhaps lower volumes of green mortgages. We think, and again, this is a think, that we will meet the CRE goals and perhaps exceed the residential goals. so that the production levels could be higher than what's contained in many of y'all's forecasts on a consolidated basis.
Okay. That's helpful. And I guess one last question. Any guidance on the tax rate? It was a little bit higher here in the quarter. Wondering if that comes back down, if there's anything abnormal there.
No, there's nothing abnormal in it. Part of what's happened, and I'm not a tax expert, but I'll take a shot at this. Part of what's happened there is that the bank was coming out of an extended period of weak to negative earnings, so it had some tax benefits to be able to utilize. The tax rate is really a function of your future expected earnings, and the fact that the bank corp expects pretty decent earnings in 2011 has changed that rate, and the ability to shield what little income the bank used to make through the utilization of the tax credit, proportionally the tax credit absorbs a much smaller percentage of earnings than it used to. So, Regan, is that a good assessment there?
That's a perfect assessment.
Okay.
All right, well, that's all I've got, Greg. Thank you.
All right, thanks again, Bryce.
There is a final question from the line of Joe Gladhew.
Hey, Joe, how are you today, and how's Baltimore?
Baltimore is good. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to, I guess, drill down a little bit on net interest margin, and in terms of the repricing of maturity of home loan bank advances and CDs, you just have an idea of how much of that is running off in the second quarter?
Jim, do you want to speak to that?
Yes, we have another. We've already paid off $5 million in the second quarter. We have a bunch more that matures in the June and July time period. We anticipate being down to $20 million of FHLB advances by the end of July.
Okay. And on the other side, I know this is probably a little bit tougher, but the loan yields were down due to some repricing lower. Is the progression of those fairly even throughout the year, or was there a chunk of those in the first quarter that might be different than the second quarter and third?
Yeah, it's pretty even. There's sort of two elements, and there's some lumpiness to this. So I give you this as sort of general guidance, nothing beyond that. There's two drivers there. One is some volatility in non-performing versus performing status, and the reversal of interest income that's affecting interest on loans. What we're seeing as a result of the repricing characteristics of our single-family portfolio is a general reduction of 5 to 7 basis points in yield on the blended portfolio. And that, I think, will level off here shortly. Because LIBOR is at an extremely low level already, and as the portfolio continues to season, there's not a lot of room to continue to decline. The plus side of having very low interest rate risk exposure is that in this type of a rate environment, as rates adjust, you have some compression on that side. Fortunately, we've had pretty good expansion on the other side with the deposits and the borrowing, so that's helped protect that margin. And I think in our for the balance of 11, as we continue to originate increasing volumes of loans with the margins that I was sharing with Bryce a little bit ago, you'll start to see margin expansion again in the clearly in the third and fourth quarter. I haven't quite drilled down yet to the level of the second quarter, so I don't want to provide any guidance as it relates to the second quarter.
Okay, and I guess you did touch on reversals a little bit. I guess in the press release you did mention there were 212,000 of interest reversals in the first quarter. Can you refresh my memory as to what that number was in the fourth quarter?
Don't know, but we'll get that for you, Joe.
Okay, and I will ask one final question just about the non-interest-bearing deposits. I know it's coming off a small base, but you had a very very nice increase in the non-interest bearing deposits. Is most of that just coming out of the new branch openings, or how are you?
No, it's really coming out of some of these growth initiatives, building excellence, sales and service initiatives coming out of the branches. A key factoid, and this is really to the credit of our great retail banking team. We were selling roughly 12 products a day out of our branch network at the beginning of the year. That would be checking, debit card, core accounts. We're now selling 36 a day. So there's a 300% increase in the sales efforts. So as this blocking and tackling is done at the branch level, and people are trained to not to go beyond order taking, not to diminish the great work that they were doing before, but they were less aggressive before than they are today. Now that they're feeling great about the franchise, they're having better understanding on how to sell, they're asking for business and deepening the relationship, our staff is being rewarded for those efforts by getting a deeper share of the wallet of our customers. So that's contributing to growth in that core bucket. And if you all recall from our sort of general philosophy here, we're about the creation of a qualitative franchise with lots of core deposits that are going to protect us from rising rate environments and also going to contribute to price earnings expansion as the market views the income stream coming out of Pacific Trust Bank as something that is stable and predictable and built on strong relationships versus the purchase and sale of commodities.
All right, great. Well, that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
There are no further questions at this time.
Well, we thank you very much for your continued trust, confidence, and support in Pacific Trust Bank. We hope that you share the enthusiasm of our board and management and our great staff in the progress that's been made during this quarter. We are working hard to honor the trust that you've placed in us and to build a franchise that we can all be proud of and that allows Pacific Trust Bank and First PacTrust Bank Corp. to realize its destiny. And I believe that destiny is very bright, and we thank you for joining us on the journey. We look forward to chatting with you as we announce our second quarter earnings. And we'll keep you updated on further developments between now and then. So thank you again, and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. This will conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect your line.